This is the third Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is The Law is a Leech. Proverbs 30:15 says, the harsh leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three. It was the rest of the scripture, but the part I wanted you to see is about the harsh leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. The letter of the law will suck you dry. In Strong's, the word leech does mean suck. The leech cries never enough. The law could not do anything to change the heart of the worshiper. So many in the church today embrace the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law. The letter of the law says, touch not, taste not, handle not. The spirit of the law says, self-control and joy, just don't be excessive. The letter of the law brings division. If you're not like us, then you're not welcome here. The spirit of the law says you're free. It's up to you, but choose wisely. It's all up to you. I'm not talking to you about sexual sin. I'm talking to you about your everyday life. I had my apostles lay down this one important thing when the spirit-filled church began. I required this. This is Acts. You hear a lot of people out there trying to bring the church back under the law in areas. But they laid it down in Acts, what was supposed to be. We're just going to read Acts 15 because it just absolutely tells the whole tale, and you'll understand if you're not familiar. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dissimulation or disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. Well, that our church was in that place where we could go up to the apostles and elders and ask them this question of all this garbage that's coming down the pike. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. When they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. To this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. It wasn't a physical house. That was a spiritual house. All right. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleaseth the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, for as much as we have heard that certain which out from us have troubled you with words, subverting their souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Did you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication? From which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. That's any kind of sexual sin is fornication. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they were gathered, the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. So we got people in the church today that are still trying to bring the church back under the law. It's happening. They're writing books about it. They're going on TV and social media platforms and proclaiming it and making people feel bad because they don't want to do what they want them to do. Is this the same thing? To me, it's the same thing. It makes me so angry. I thought, I'm having a Paul moment. All right, Peter, I'm fixing to chew you up and spit you out. That's the way I feel. I'm thinking, why in the world can't the church just be free? Why in the world do we have to go through this? You know, I'm looking forward to the real church arising, the one that is truly free. All right. Let me keep going here. I'll get on my soapbox. This mandate laid down to Jew and Gentile, the combined church, were the only things in the law that were required from here on out. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care who they are. It grieves me that church leaders want to keep my body in bondage. I will tell you why. They have no power, and they think they will lose control without laying down the law. They think that if you know that they are, that they know it, they think that if the people know they're free and can hear me for themselves, they will lose their prestige and their money. You know the tithes, my money, into my storage, so that there will be meat in mine house. That's Malachi 3, 7 through 12. The leaders, they think it belongs to them. I will pose to you a question. Has any church that you've ever been to ever actually helped you? No, it's all about you blessing them. Last church we went to, they were like a bunch of old setting hens pecking these people to death every time they came. Okay, now we got to get the pantry full for the poor. Now we got to get the school backpacks ready for the kids to give away all the free stuff for the kids on the projects. And I'm going, I mean, it was like, call you on the phone begging for money. And I'm going, it just turned me wrong side out. I said, Lord, I can't stand this. This is so wrong. That was the focus. Well, there's probably people in their own church needing money. There might be people in their own church that really do need help. Well, let me keep going here. The leaders, they think it belongs to them. I will pose to you a question. Okay, has anybody ever done to you? They might have programs that distribute all over the world, but those tithes belong to me, and I mean them for my flock. What he's saying is, what comes into a flock, that's for the flock. That's why from the get-go, the Lord's always had me give to the people that were listening, the people that came, because He didn't ever lead me. He's never led me to give. Well, the people that kind of raised our ministry up, He instructed me to give to them, and I do. But nobody else. All right, Acts 4. Who needs to send it to foreign missions? You know what to me that is code for? Kind of like the deep state. Oh, we're going to do, you know, we're going to take up all this to send to Ukraine. But what they're doing is they're laundering the money and it's coming back into their pocket. All these foreign missions and stuff, where do you think this is going? I won't say all because I don't know that, but I do. These big ones especially, big. The Lord knows and he's bringing it all down. All right, what did I tell y'all? Acts 4. And the multitude of them, 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Sounds like me. That's how they supplied. Well, right here. I know it is. Luke chapter 6. And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians among the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in daily ministration. And they appointed some deacons to go and make sure that the widows had their distribution in the fellowships. All right. My church began to vary from this, and it caused division. See, they started dropping the ball on that, and then they started screaming out because, well, this widow over here got her food box today, but this one over here didn't get hers. So they appointed men to do that. To see to that. Isn't that part of supplying God's house? Feeding God's people? Those in that fellowship? I mean, how else are you going to do it? Shouldn't every fellowship be taking care of that? Kind of sounds like it to me. All right. When each fellowship does this, then all are provided for from my tithes and offering. The Lord says they're His. Go read Malachi. Bring y'all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Not the preacher's pocket. Anyway. I am the good shepherd. I take care of my sheep. Most that have come before you are thieves and robbers, hirelings. The love of money is the root to all evil. My new guard is in place and will have my heart, and they will do my will, and they will, on my order, distribute to my sheep. The only agenda they have is mine. It will not happen overnight. At first it will seem like John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness. That is what you're seeing now. I will grow bigger and bigger until all of the old wineskins have passed away. Okay.